Stories from a Hard Place is an anthology podcast. Every Thursday, R.A. Jacobson presents another story from a hard place, written and read by R.A. Jacobson. Stories of moonshine and shotguns, obsession and transcendence, love and darkness, and the blindness of human desire. Each tale follows a painful path to one ultimate realization. The devil's deal always ends badly. Listener discretion is advised, contains strong language, violence, and some adult situations. Together Forever, from a single round, a collection of stories from a hard place. This is part two of a two-part telling. Tommy pushed himself up from the grass at the side of the road. He didn't know where he was. He had lost his shoe. That made him mad. He liked those shoes. There was something wrong with his left arm. It hurt. He couldn't move it. He wanted to go home. His mom would know what to do. He started walking. He wasn't sure how long he'd walk till a police car found him, driving up behind him with the lights flashing. Two large men climbed out of the car and walked up to him. They asked a lot of questions that he couldn't understand. He just wanted to go home. They said they would take him home, so he went with them. In the days that followed, he found out what had happened. The truck had come around a curve in the road. A deer had jumped out. Jason had braked and turned, but the deer crashed through the windshield, killing Dean instantly. The truck hit the ditch and launched Rebecca and him into the air. Rebecca died when she hit the pavement. Her neck was broken. The truck came to rest upside down in the ditch. Jason, Cooper, and Leslie died, stuck in the cab. They drowned in the water in the ditch. George had managed to get the driver's door open, but couldn't reach Leslie. He kicked at the windshield, but couldn't break it. He watched her through the windshield as she drowned. Tommy stayed in the hospital for a few days. He had hit his head, broke his left arm, and was in shock, but the doctor said he would be okay. His parents took him home. He was numb. He walked through those next few weeks in a haze. The funerals were endless. He kept thinking about Rebecca's guitar at Stony Lake getting wet. He woke in the middle of the night screaming, not sure what he was dreaming. Then George committed suicide. Tommy went to his funeral and thought he had had enough of funerals. He never wanted ever to go to a funeral again. He stayed at home. He didn't play his guitar. Kirk and Tyler came by. They talked, and Tommy listened, and then they went away. Alice came a week after George died. She just sat on his bed and sobbed for a while and left. A couple of weeks later, Tyler came by again. He and Tommy had never really hung out. Tyler was Dean's friend. They sat in Tommy's room and just talked. The summer was slipping by. Tyler was talking about college. He thought he might become an electrician or maybe an engineer. He wasn't sure. Somewhere in the middle of Tyler's one-sided conversation, Tommy picked up his guitar and played a lick from the opening of Over the Hills and Far Away. He stopped when he realized what he was doing. He started to cry and put his guitar down. After a while, Tyler left. But Tyler kept coming back, and Tommy started to look forward to his visits. He started to pick up the guitar again, and things seemed to be getting better. Tyler came to him with a new to him, car that he had bought at Carson's. It was a white Toyota with a stick shift. He wasn't very good at it, but he tried. They drove to the mall and walked around. Tommy hadn't been back in the mall since the day Jason and Marianne broke up. He felt off. Nothing felt familiar, and yet it was. They went to a restaurant to have a burger. "You okay?" Tyler asked. "Yeah, I haven't been here since it happened." "Yeah, I get it. I miss them. Jason was an ass, but I miss him." "Yeah, he was. I miss them." "You got close to Kirk's cousin. What was her name?" "Rebecca. Tommy felt he might start crying. Tyler noticed. I'm sorry, I didn't realize. It's her you miss. Tommy couldn't speak. Why didn't you talk to the judge? Tyler's joke fell flat, but he kept talking, and Tommy wasn't hearing him. An idea was drifting in his mind. Rumors had spun for years that if you went to a certain crossroads at midnight, a man would come and grant your wish. Most people laughed it off as a fun legend, a scary story that you can tell around a campfire. But Tommy started to think it might be real. Cautiously, he started asking questions. One story that came up more than once was about a man 10 years ago who went to the crossroads to make a deal. It hadn't gone well, but if he was still around, he might be able to tell him something about the judge and his deals. A chance meeting at a gas station gave Tommy a clue. He and Tyler had stopped for gas on the north of town, and Tyler was surprised to see that the mechanic was a brother of a girl he had dated. They laughed and talked to the mechanic. His name was Dusty. Hey, you want to taste some shine? Dusty grinned. The best I ever tasted. They both laughed and said sure, and he returned with a glass jug half full of a clear liquid. Dusty had 3 Dixie cups, which he poured a small amount in each. Then, with as much ceremony as he could muster, Dusty said, "Bottoms up," and he threw the shine back. Tommy and Tyler followed suit. They both expected a harsh, throat-burning gulp of fire, but what they got was a warm, easy drink with flavor. It truly was amazing shine. "Fucking A! This is amazing!" Tyler smiled and looked at Tommy. Tommy had never tried shine before, so had no real way of knowing the difference. He did know it tasted amazing, and he wanted more. They both held out their cups for seconds. Dusty laughed and poured a small amount in each. "This ain't cheap, and it's hard to get. The dude who brews it only does small batches, and usually it's gone."
"Shit, man, this is fucking amazing."
"You gotta hook me up," Tyler said.
"Aw, man, I don't know. I get it from Billy, one of Jacob's drivers. You know Billy."
"Yeah, you know him, Bill Gibbons."
Tyler thought about it. Then,
"Yes, I remember him. Bit of a yahoo, but an okay guy. Well, how can I get a hold of him?"
"Look, give me your number. Next time he comes to town, I'll pass it along. If he calls, he calls."
"Give us another sip," Tyler asked.
Dusty grinned, and it looked like he wasn't going to. Then, with a chuckle, he pulled the cap off and gave them another small sip.
"It sure is fine shit," Tommy said.
"What's the guy's name who's brewing it up?"
"His name is Jacob. Story goes he sold his soul to the devil for the recipe."
Tommy perked up. "I would love to meet this guy."
"I doubt if that would make you happy. Not a friendly kind of guy. Biker and scary as shit. I met him once, and that was enough for me. Huge motherfucker with a long black beard.
See what you can do. Would you do that?"
"Yeah, sure. I'll ask, but don't get your hopes up."
"Thanks, Dusty." Tyler and Tommy tossed their cups in the trash. "Thanks for the taste." A couple of weeks later, Tyler called Tommy to tell him that Dusty had called. He said he talked to Billy. Dusty was changing Billy's alternator for him. He'll be back on Tuesday to pick it up. If we were there, we could talk to him. "Anything about the Jacob guy?"
"Nah.
But Billy's got a straight line to the good stuff." They agreed they would have to be there to try to score some of that fine shine. Billy turned out to be a kind of a doughy kid who shuffled and rubbed his nose and kept removing his cap to push back his greasy hair. He was not much older than Tommy. He smiled and said, "Dusty says you guys are cool, so sure, when the next batch comes out, I'll get you some. Probably next week, but it's up to Jacob. He works to his own schedule."
"Any chance of meeting Jacob?" Billy laughed.
"No chance. He's a very private kind of dude." Then with a grin, "But if you show up at the Old Scratch Tavern out on 11 on a Thursday night, that's wing night, you might catch him." There was mischief in his eyes. The next Thursday, Tyler and Tommy headed for the Old Scratch. They drove for an hour and a bit. They were nervous but excited. They pulled off Highway 11 into a gravel parking lot. The lot was full. They rolled around and managed to squeeze the Toyota in beside a huge truck that towered over Tyler's little white car. They walked, runners crunching on gravel, to the neon-laced bar. They both chuckled at the devil holding the bikini chick that buzzed in the neon above the Old Scratch Tavern. From outside, the noise coming from the bar was daunting. They stepped up and opened the door just as a huge man in leather stumbled out. He nearly knocked them both down and never noticed. They looked at each other, second thoughts written all over the faces, but Tommy was determined. He stepped up and pulled the door open and walked in. Tyler grabbed the door before it closed and followed. Inside, they were met with a wall of sound. The bar was full. Beards, bellies, and ball caps for as far as you could see. They pushed through the bar and their mouths dropped open. The bartender was by far the best-looking woman either of them had seen. She came up to them. They watched her walk over, stunned. She smiled, completely aware of her effect.
"What can I get you?"
"Couple of beers," Tommy said.
"You old enough there, hun?"
With a sigh, Tommy and Tyler pulled out their driver's license and showed him. She nodded and went off and was back in a second with two beers.
"You running a tab or cashing out?"
Tommy pulled out a 20. She took it, dropped some change in the bar top.
"Hey, you heard of a dude named Jacob?"
She smiled.
"Aw, hon, you don't want to wake that dog. He bites."
"I need to ask him a question. Hun, serious. Just leave him be." Tyler leaned forward, the desperation and pain in his face.
"I need to ask him a question."
She smiled sadly.
"Okay, hon, okay."
She looked around at the bar, then pointed. "See that mountain over there? That's Brian. He's tight with Jacob. Jacob will be over there. He's the one with the huge beard and leathers. He's the only motherfucker that would wear his colors in here." Tommy looked where she pointed. The man she pointed at was truly a mountain of a man. He towered over the other men, a big grin on his face. The beer he held looked small in his hand. His laugh echoed across the bar.
"Jesus, what the fuck is that?"
Tyler asked when Tommy pointed him out.
"That's Brian.
If she's telling the truth, Jacob will be with him." Then a shift in the crowd, and Tommy saw him. Jacob was sitting in his chair pushed back. His face was shadowed by a green ball cap pulled low on his head. He had "fuck off" written all over him. As Tommy watched, Jacob stood and put his beer down and headed across the room. Jacob was tall and rangy. He had on an old black leather jacket and jeans, heavy boots, and a denim vest over the jacket. There was a large patch on the back of the vest that Tommy had never seen. It was a skull, but it was something else as well. It looked like it said, "The Jurors." Jacob walked with an easy swing, unhurried. He moved through the crowd, the people melting out of his way. Tommy moved without really deciding to. He pushed and ducked through the crowd and came up beside Jacob just as he was about to turn down the hall to the can.
"Jacob, I need to ask you a question."
Jacob paused and looked at Tommy.
"Fuck off,"
he said and turned to walk away.
"I need to ask you about the judge."
Jacob stopped. He shook his head and turned. Then he walked toward Tommy with a violent intent in his stride. He grabbed Tommy by the jacket and lifted him off his feet and walked him backward through the crowd. Men and tables were pushed out of the way. Jacob used Tommy's body like a ram. Men cursed, ready to fight, then seeing as Jacob moved back. Frank, the owner of the Old Scratch, looked up, wondering how much Jacob was going to do this time. Jacob stopped when Tommy slammed against the bar. Jacob pressed into Tommy's face, still holding him off the ground.
"Jacob, he's just a kid,"
the bartender touched Jacob's arm. Tommy could have sworn he heard Jacob growl. Then Jacob dropped him. The entire bar was watching, sure they were going to see the little shit get a whooping. No one fucked with Jacob unless he was looking to be put down. But instead, Jacob asked, "What the fuck do you want with the judge?" At the sound of the judge's name, suddenly no one wanted to hear the rest. They all turned away and busied themselves with not listening.
"I want to make a deal."
Tommy stood tall and tried to look like he knew what he was saying. Jacob looked down and smiled. It was a smile with no warmth or humor.
"Then you're a fucking idiot."
And he turned and walked away. Tommy stood there. He didn't have the fight to follow or push any further. Tyler was beside him.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Tyler pulled Tommy's arm. Tommy let himself be led from the bar. A few people watched them leave, but none bothered them. Tommy's head was down as Tyler hurried him out the door and into the parking lot.
Hey, just a sec.
It was the beautiful bartender. Tommy turned and looked at her. She walked down to him. Why are you asking about the judge?
I need his help.
Well, the judge ain't there for helping folk. But if you have a powerful need, take 11 west for a quarter mile, then turn south at the turnoff beside the gas station. 6 miles exactly and you'll come to a crossroads. Be there at midnight and wait. He'll show. She turned and walked away. Before she went back into the bar, she turned back. Good luck, kid. Tommy didn't speak the whole way back. Tyler didn't seem to notice. He chatted excitedly about the near miss they had just escaped. It was going to be a great story to tell. A few weeks later, Tyler met Tommy in a bar near Tyler's place. They hadn't seen each other since their adventure, as Tyler called it. Tyler ordered a beer and burger. Tommy had a beer in front of him, but wasn't drinking.
I went, Tommy said.
Went? Where? Tyler's watching the waitress pick up a napkin she had dropped and was definitely not listening.
To the crossroads.
What? Wait, what?
Now he was listening.
What the fucking hell did you do that for? Are you fucking kidding me?
Nope.
Tyler sat back, shaking his head.
Well, fuck.
And?
It's real. It's all real. He came. We talked, and I made a deal.
Wait, you made a deal? What the fuck do you mean you made a deal?
Tyler, you swear too much. Tommy smiled, still looking down at the tabletop.
I sold my soul to the devil. That's who the judge is. He is the devil. I sold my soul to the devil.
Tyler sat, not knowing what to say.
Okay, you went to this crossroads place at midnight, and what? The devil appeared with horns and a pitchfork all in red?
No, he drove up in a 68 GTO. He was a tall man in a fine suit.
Okay, what did he say? What did you sell your soul for?
Well, at first he didn't want to do it. But then he said he could do it, but it would take a bit of time. He offered me the standard contract, whatever I wanted for 6 months, 6 days, and 6 hours. Then I was his, body and soul.
Wait a fucking minute. You're serious?
Tyler leaned forward. What did you ask for?
I asked him to bring Rebecca back.
You did what?
He said it would be done in a week. Tyler smiled and looked at Tyler.
Aw, shit, man. I thought you were serious. You're just fucking with me.
No, I did it. She's coming back to me.
Tyler laughed. Sure, sure. I hope you made sure she comes back to you as she was, not as she is right now, unless you're into maggots.
He laughed and Tommy frowned. Tommy woke, sitting bolt upright in bed. In the dark, the alarm clock's glowing red numbers told him it was 3:36. Something had woken him. He had been having this dream. His heart was pounding. In the dream, he was being chased by what? He couldn't get it. A person? A thing? Jason had told him to run, to get the hell out of there. But his feet seemed to be wrapped in heavy, wet pants. He could hardly move. And something was getting closer. He had to piss. He flung the covers off him and rolled onto the floor. It was cold. He danced to the bathroom in the dark, the dream slipping away. His heart slowed. When he flipped on the light, he thought he heard a sound outside. He froze. He listened. He was looking at the floor, listening. Then he looked up, caught his reflection in the medicine cabinet, and jumped. He laughed at his foolishness. Tommy walked over to the toilet, lifted the lid, and let fly. A sound. Tommy stopped pissing. He had heard a noise, he was sure. Cock in hand, he listened. Sound, a scuff outside the house. He started. Something was outside, right outside the house, under the bathroom window. He stepped back, listening hard. Another scuff, like someone or something was dragging its feet as it walked around the house, looking for a way in. Tommy took another step back, then ran into his room. Frantically, he pulled his jeans on. His parents were away for the weekend. Normally, that would be something to celebrate, but here and now it wasn't. He was alone in the house. Carefully, he crept down the hallway, fingers lightly touching the wall so he wouldn't bump into anything, let whoever or whatever was outside know he was here, and he sure shit wasn't going to turn on any lights. Slowly, he made his way to the living room. He was standing there, toes in the shag carpet, straining to hear. A shadow passed the living room window slowly. The streetlight made a crisp shape on the living room window curtains. It was a small shape, a shape he recognized. Suddenly, Tyler's words rang in his ears, and all his fears came flooding into his mind. She's back! It's her! It was Rebecca! His Rebecca! The judge had done it! There was a light knock on the front door. Tommy ran to the door, and he stopped. He listened.
Tommy?
The voice was rough, like a heavy smoker.
Tommy?
He looked at the lock at the door. It was locked. There was another knock on the door, stronger this time.
Tommy?
She coughed. It sounded deep and wet.
Tommy, let me in. I'm cold.
Tommy reached for the door. There was a bang against the door. He stopped, his hands inches from the door.
Tommy, my love, let me in.
He took a small step backwards and lowered his hand.
Tommy, why won't you let me in?
There was a noise at the door he couldn't recognize. Then he did, and realized it was scratching. It was fingernails clawing at the door.
Tommy, let me in.
Tommy took another step backwards, his hands at his side. They were linked, the judge had said, forever. For as long as they lived, they were connected, locked together as one person. Tommy had given some of his life for her to come back. Tyler's words kept running through his head. But you didn't ask for her to come back as she was. You just asked for her to return to you. Judge is a very literal guy. It's his little pleasure. He gives you what you want, exactly what you ask for. She'll come back to you, sure, but she's been dead now for months, in the ground with worms. If she comes back like that... Tommy stared at the door, rooted in the spot. There was a bang at the door. He jumped. He turned and ran, his shin smashing into the edge of the coffee table. With a yelp, he crashed to the floor.
Tommy! Let me in!
He scrambled to his feet and raced down the hallway to his parents' room. He was blinded when he flipped on the light. He rarely came in here. It wasn't off-limits, but he felt uncomfortable nonetheless. He ran to their clothes closet and opened the door. It had a clean laundry smell. He dropped to his knees and started shoving boxes filled with family photos aside. He knew it was here. He had seen it. It was somewhere here.
Tommy, we can be together just like at the lake.
He found it. He sat back on his heels and pulled it out. He was surprised at its weight, as he usually was. He rested the shotgun on his lap. It was black and cold. He looked at it. It was the only thing he could think of. It was a way out.
Tommy, what's wrong? Don't you want to be together?
It was a way, but the gun was empty. He set the gun beside him on the carpet and started digging again. There must be a box of shells in here as well. After a minute, he had to admit there were no shells here. He remembered that his dad had said, never store the shells with your gun. You always store them separately. He looked around the room. The night table, the one on his dad's side. He got up and went to the night table and pulled open the drawer. There was all kinds of stuff. Papers, letters, a girly magazine, but no shells for the shotgun.
Tommy, I'm cold. Please let me in.
Where would his dad hide his shells? He stood. He walked to the closet and picked up the gun. There was a bang at the door. Tommy jumped at the sound. The sock drawer, that's where. He stepped to the chest of drawers and opened the top one. It was stuffed with white, pink, and lace. Nope. He opened the next one. It was filled with black and dark brown.
Yes.
He dragged around one-handed, and there it was, a cardboard box. He pulled it out. It was bright yellow with a big red W on the side with Winchester written in red above that. He opened it. There was only one shell left. It'll be enough. It would only take one round. He dropped to his knees and broke the gun open. He slipped the shell in. It slid in perfectly. It was meant to be there. He paused, then he stood. He didn't hurry. He walked, carrying the heavy, black, dangerous thing. He knew what he had to do, knew deep down. Once it was done, he'd be free. He walked across the living room carpet and stopped.
Tommy, please, please let me in. The judge promised.
Tommy imagined her then, not as he remembered her. A bright, tanned, beautiful girl with big, searching eyes, but as a dark, muddy, half-rotten thing with dead eyes and lips pulled back in a parody of a smile. He set his jaw and reached forward. He was going to fling open the door and pull the trigger. It was that simple. Done.
Tommy, he promised we'd be together forever.
Her voice was quiet now, pleading. His hand stopped inches from the lock. The gun barrel dipped. Forever. Tommy paused, and the gun barrel dipped further. A voice in his head asked, "If she's dead, how can you kill her?" And he knew the answer. He couldn't. He stepped back. He knew what he had to do, and began to cry. He cried for himself, cried for his mom and his dad, he cried for Rebecca. There was a loud bang on the door.
Let me in.
He turned and walked to the couch and sat. It was the only way. No other way at all. He thought about his friends, his plans. He was getting good at the guitar. He had so much he wanted to do. He put the butt of the shotgun down in his mum's shag carpet and leaned the barrel of the gun to his chest. And he found he couldn't reach the trigger. His arms weren't long enough. He cried, sitting there, frustrated and scared. Bang! She hammered at the door, screaming,
"Let me in!"
Tommy set the gun down beside him on the couch and slowly rose and went into the kitchen. He came back with a broom. He sat, picked up the gun, and slid the handle of the broom through the trigger guard.
"Tommy, I love you. Let me in."
Her voice was quiet. Tommy put the butt of the gun down on the carpet, then pulled the barrel to his forehead, holding it with both hands. The broom handle rested against the trigger crosswise to the gun. He rested his foot against it like a gas pedal. "I love you too," he said for the first time in his life, and he meant it. He pushed hard with his foot as if he was revving his truck.
I hope you've enjoyed the conclusion of Together Forever. Tune in next week for Becoming Famous, another story from a hard place. Music by Noah Zachron. Production copyright R.A. Jacobson 2020. If you're enjoying this book and would rather not wait for each installment, consider purchasing the complete audiobook on iTunes, Audible, or wherever you purchase your audiobooks. If you'd like the book version, either ebook or print, you can find it on Amazon. You can find links to all these and much more at Dead Cat Studio. That's deadcatstud.io. Thanks for listening. Keep the shiny side up.